It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. We're in conversation with the new president of Lawrence College in Appleton about pressing issues facing higher ed. Here's some roadmap for discussion, how to create an environment where first generation and underrepresented students are supported and they thrive. We'll look at the impact of the pandemic on university budgets and enrollment. Student debt, also a huge issue. Loan forgiveness amid soaring inflation. And we start with the impact of a liberal arts education and its place in higher ed. Join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Lori Carter is the 17th president of Lawrence University, previously served as president of Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania, and has held leadership posts at Eastern Kentucky University and the Juilliard School. President Lori Carter, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's start with what is near and dear to you, and that is liberal arts. Tell us, what is valuable about a liberal arts education?
Well, what isn't valuable about it? Students who attend liberal arts institutions have the opportunity to stretch and grow in ways that really doesn't happen at all institutions. There is a core curriculum that really steeps them in the ability to think critically, to work well in teams, to be able to communicate effectively. So writing and public speaking, interacting in teams is all a part of the experience. And that's why so many leaders of corporations, of not-for-profit organizations, and of higher learning have been steeped in the liberal arts. It really does give you a toolkit that prepares you for all sorts of leadership experiences in life, and also prepares you to be a lifelong learner.
And full disclosure, I am the product of that toolkit of a public liberal arts education. But, you know, we've heard the criticisms over the decades that the degree isn't worth the money, that you learn the soft skills and how to be that critical thinker, the writing, as you mentioned, but not the technical skills, not that hands-on skills that make you more employable. How do you respond to critics who challenge the true worth of the degree?
So let's talk about hands-on skills and how you learn them, really. When you think about programs that are really hands-on and focused in a way that doesn't give you the broad swath that the liberal arts does, there's tension there about folks who have technical skills, but then don't have the ability to problem solve effectively or work well with teams. So it's all important. And it's not as though you don't learn some of those skills in the liberal arts education. At Lawrence, for instance, we work very hard to place our students in internships, in job shadowing, mentoring opportunities. So they're really learning how to gain those technical skills while also benefiting from the wealth of experience of a liberal arts education.
President Carter, how do you think the pandemic has changed the job prospects for liberal arts graduates?
Oh, gosh, the pandemic has changed so much about how we live, hasn't it?
Mm.
I think it's important to think about the liberal arts in the context of everything else that's going on in our society. So the pandemic has caused folks to think about how they live and work differently. It has really inspired people to seek more balance in life. And at the same time, it has brought out the need for employers to be more sensitive to mental health issues. The liberal arts is really kind of addressing those issues already. I mean, we produce graduates who are really able to balance things well, who are able to think through the problems of today. So Job prospects for liberal arts graduates should be better than ever before because it is the liberal arts graduate who is well prepared to succeed in the workplace.
We're talking with Lawrence University's new president, Lori Carter, about issues in liberal arts, about issues facing higher ed, and what you have experienced. 800-642-1234 to join in. You are the product of a first generation in your family to receive a college degree. What difference has that made in your life?
It's made a tremendous difference in my life. You know, my parents both, after raising their children, went back and got college degrees, which really speaks to the value of a college degree, even for people like my father, who had to drop out of school in the seventh grade to help support his family. But while he did that and then raised his own family, he knew that a college education was important. And so he obtained that degree and then started teaching. And he taught at a technical college. So there you go. How all of the skills matter, and how education is transformative. For me, it has really changed not just my life, but the life of my entire family. And for those who are coming behind me to see what higher education has been able to do in my life, I think it really serves as motivation and inspiration for them. It really is a game changer.
Do you think campuses are correctly supporting first generation students? What could they do differently?
Oh, I think some do it really well, and some are working on it. And at Lawrence, we are doing it well, but we're getting better and better at it. First generation college students don't know what they don't know, as they say. And so it's important to have an infrastructure that allows them to fill in those gaps. And that means having folks around who are providing extra safety nets. At Lawrence, we have a group of faculty and staff who were first gen, who serve as additional support and mentors to our first generation population. We have a program designed just for those students so that they can be together and share stories. Because sometimes when you are first gen, you don't want to feel as though you're not as savvy as some others who perhaps aren't first gen. So it's nice to have other first gens to talk with these things about, to bounce things off of families. Our engagement with families is very intentional because we understand that it is that pull to home that sometimes causes students to struggle. And so we want families to know that they too are a part of the Lawrence community.
And there's so much at stake, right? I mean, you look at student debt in our country, 43 million Americans holding $1.6 trillion in student loan debt. What debt relief would you like to see President Biden's administration offer these borrowers?
So debt relief is a really tricky issue. And when you think about the big number of debt, you really have to look at where that debt comes from. A lot of it is coming from for-profit institutions. It's even coming from higher learning, medical school, law school debt. And so the Biden administration has to think very carefully about what kind of debt relief should be available to people and why. You know, I was a first gen student who worked my way through college, and I took out debt for college. And I was great. I'm grateful I was able to pay it off. But I think making an investment in my education was not a terrible thing for me to do. Yet at the same time, I had a manageable amount of debt. And that's what we want to see. We want to see students making an investment in their education, but being able to afford to pay off that debt in a reasonable amount of time so they can move on with their lives. And that's what we're doing at Lawrence. We are really working towards becoming an institution that's focused on full need. We're very close to being full need, particularly for students coming from the state of Wisconsin. And what we're seeing as a result of that is a great reduction in the amount of debt students have to take out. And that's what institutions should be working towards. Yes, it would be wonderful for the Biden administration to provide some support and some relief. Yet institutions have to really get engaged in this process of appropriate pricing, appropriate discount rates, and really focusing on the students who need access to higher education from a financial standpoint so that it is available to everyone.
Lawrence University President Lori Carter, the first person of color to lead the institution, with us for her perspective on a range of issues hitting higher ed. Carter was inaugurated in May. Join in on the challenges and opportunities of a liberal arts education, race-based disparities, the work of racial equity in higher ed. We'll get to that. How Wisconsin cities can work with their local universities and be a strong community partner. Join in, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Lawrence University President Lori Carter, who, as we've been talking about, was a first-generation college student herself, a trailblazer of firsts here, including first person of color to lead Lawrence in its 175-year history. Join in on liberal arts, issues facing universities in Wisconsin, racial equity work on campus, and more. 800-642-1234. President Lori Carter stays with us. President Carter, the murder of George Floyd in 2020 reignited, as you saw, protests against American racism, especially on college campuses. How should universities be engaging in this conversation?
Well, the really interesting thing is that universities were engaging in this conversation prior to the murder of George Floyd. And after the event, really in earnest, started looking at how they were engaging in those conversations, how meaningful those conversations had been, and have responded in a way that I think is really admirable. Stepping up to say, we weren't having these conversations in the ways that were changing how folks were responding, and now really moving to a space where, like at Lawrence, we're doing work not just in DEIA, but also in anti-racism. So how can universities really prepare students to go out into society to challenge conventional thinking in some ways, but also to be leaders in discussion and solutions?
Can you be more specific there? How is Lawrence addressing racism on its campus?
Sure. Well, we have a chief diversity officer who's a vice president level, and that person really works across campus. We went through a process this year, something we called a guiding coalition, where a group of about 30 faculty, staff, and students spent several months looking at where we are in terms of our DEIA efforts and where we need to be. And so they put forth some recommendations that we are working through. Most of them have to do with really creating an environment where everyone has a strong sense of belonging and there is a culture of inclusion. And so hiring more faculty and staff of color, really understanding that students from different cultural backgrounds need different levels of supports. One of the things we just completed a project, for instance, of making sure that our admissions materials are translated into Spanish. Mm. We have, over 10% of our students come from the Latinx community, and we want their families to be able to understand the process, particularly since many of them are also first gen. So it's things like that we're being very intentional about. My entire cabinet and I meet on a term basis with the student organizations that support diverse students. And we have really frank dialogue about where we are and where we need to go. So we have opened up communication and dialogue. We are very intentional about supporting student events and student ideas. About working with faculty and staff on their needs, helping as we're hiring people from diverse backgrounds, making sure that when they move into the community, they're connected with people from communities that matter to them and have the opportunity to participate in activities that are maybe important to them and their families. Really listening to people and then responding in a way that allows them to have a stronger sense of belonging.
Mm, thank you for so many examples there. Lori Carter with us, president of Lawrence University in Appleton. You can share in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Andrew is joining us from Whitewater now. Andrew, what would you like to bring up?
Hi there. I'd just like to mention that when I graduated high school, this was back in 2010, at that time, a lot of my high school teachers were saying if you didn't go to college and get a four-year degree, that you weren't going to be able to have a successful career or a fruitful life following high school. And I think that ties into why there's been such an explosion in student loan debt. But on the issue of debt relief, one thing I can't understand, and this is somebody who went to college, I can't understand why it is my neighbor who may have went to a trade school, why they should be on the hook for my student loan debt when it was a decision that I had made to take on.
Andrew, thank you for that. President Carter, how do you respond to that?
Well, as I said earlier, I think that any debt relief that is delivered by the federal government really has to be thought through very carefully. Mm. And there has to be a thoughtful process and real rationale for it. I am certainly not a proponent of just relieving debt for everyone, because I do think that making an investment in your education is important. Mm. But in cases where there has been abuse, then perhaps that is appropriate. But those are complex issues.
Even before the pandemic, a number of private liberal arts schools had already made these really wrenching budget cuts, curriculum changes. Some made complete overhauls of their liberal arts programs. How do you approach cutting programs versus keeping a healthy budget outlook versus keeping the core of what you see as liberal arts?
Right. Well, so first of all, Lawrence is committed to the liberal arts tradition. And if you're a liberal arts institution, there is a certain core. There is a certain foundation that you would like for all students to have. And that can be done in a sustainable way. There are a variety of levers that institutions have to pull about program array, about student enrollment numbers, that all are part of the decision-making process. But For those of us who believe in the liberal arts, you can do that within the context of balancing a budget. It just has to be done in a way that allows us to continue the tradition of the liberal arts, but also respond to the needs of today's students and parents. So it's a balance, and it requires a great deal of conversation and compromise, but it is possible.
President Carter, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Yes. Lori Carter, president of Lawrence University. And for disclosure, Lawrence University is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ahead this hour, we talk with Wisconsin's attorney general about how the state might use the more than $400 million Wisconsin is slated to receive from the opioid settlement. Join in, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.